You're not close enough. Sorry, young boy. I'm gonna have to knock this down.
I feel good, man. I've been in my bag all year.
Clemens reverses it, and the pass goes into the end zone.
To Nick Foles.
It's a touchdown by Nick Foles.
What is going on, listeners? It's your boy Alex coming back to you with the In My Bag podcast, a part of the Pulse Podcast Network. We're here early February. I'm here with my co-host, Kenny Ray. Kenny, we are one day removed from the NBA trade deadline, and I am a little drunk on the NBA. I might need some Pedialyte after all these trades that went down.
Electrolytes. Per usual, as the clock counted down to zero, we saw a lot of guys try to chunk up some last minute game winning shots. And
yes, speaking of game winners, shout out to Rajon Rondo, former Celtic, breaking the hearts of the Boston fanhood. I loved it. I watched that and I almost jumped out of bed and hit my head on my ceiling fan, how high I jumped. It was crazy.
I want to put a pin in that because I didn't watch the actual game. I had to work last night, amongst other things that kind of kept me from being able to watch too much NBA or picking up too much action. So I missed quite a bit, unfortunately, that I had to catch up on. But when I saw that, the first thought that came to mind was that was almost positioning, angling, timing, everything, the exact same scenario as Game 1 NBA Finals last season, when J.R. Smith pulled the boneheaded move. And I don't think anybody was happier in that moment than LeBron for what was kind of a, not basic, but a standard regular season game.
Yeah, that's a good point. It was very similar to that situation. It was the opposite side of the floor. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like a loose ball, and then Rondo with the headsy play to put up a quality jumper with how much time he had. Right. He got into that space and into his shot very quickly, and I'm very proud of him.
Yes.
But without further ado, let us talk about all these trades that went down. So, what we're going to do here is we're not going to just go through every single trade that went down in the NBA over the last couple of weeks, because that would be like a 3-hour pod, and some of them are slightly insignificant. So, what we're going to do is we're going to give it to you rapid fire. We're going to put 60 seconds on the clock, and we're each going to pick out we picked out some trades that we feel that are very important to the landscape of the NBA, and we're going to take 60 seconds and talk about them and give our takes. Kenny, are you ready for the first trade?
I think I might be ready.
Okay. Silence that phone, Kenny.
Look, it's just Woj bombs dropping. That's all. Just getting these exclusives, man.
Right. Kenny with the two phones, right?
Kenny Hanzo, Lord of Two Phones.
All right, so 60 seconds on the clock. Talk about Cavs-Blazers trade, and go.
All right, so the biggest part of this trade, of course, is just that Portland is taking back in Rodney Hood from the Cavaliers, a guy who we saw kind of go to Cleveland and have a really strong fall off from what was him ascending with the Utah Jazz and kind of developing into a star and maybe even cusp all-star level player. And that's huge for them. It adds great depth in their backcourt with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, especially if one of them ends up going elsewhere somewhere this offseason, a trade or something to that effect. And if not, once again, it's great depth, three guys that can fill it up, and it gives you a lot to have to deal with at the guard position in Portland. Meanwhile, the Cavs get back Wade Baldwin and Nick Stauskas, which have been kind of like the NBA equivalent of the flu yesterday. Seemed like they got passed around to everybody, but nobody really wanted it. And so they also got two future first-round draft picks, which they're probably going to mess up. And that's my take on that.
Yeah, so great takes, Kenny. I'm on the same line as you as far as the trade goes. I think Rodney Hood was a great asset for Portland to pick up. Those two future second-round picks probably won't stay in Cleveland. I think they're going to move those around, especially if they don't get in the position to take Zion. I think they'll use those as leverage to wiggle their way up in the draft to get the next best thing after Zion and Barrett go. So we can just end that there, and I have about 10 seconds left, so I will save that for later. Next trade, 76ers and Clippers. That was
one of the marquee trades from this past weekend.
Yeah, I was going to call it the blockbuster trade of the trade deadline.
It was.
I will give you 60 seconds, so go.
All right, so the biggest part of this, again, Philly is tooling up and ready to go in for the offseason. They're positioning themselves to not just compete for the best team in the East, but solidify themselves as the best team in the East. Of course, my take is always games get played on the court and on the field, not on paper. So all these players have to come together and be able to work. But they have tremendous depth now, an amazing lineup, and it just seems like at no point in the time for 48 minutes with them will you get much relief. Clippers get a couple of players that they can release at the end of the season, as well as some draft picks that they can either use to draft and bolster their team or trade away for potential big-name players this offseason as they move forward with the rebuild. I love it. You know, I'm heavy on Philadelphia and the East. I've had support for them this entire season and at the end of last season, and I think they're going to be the future of the East now with this new lineup that they plan on taking.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and put 60 seconds on the clock for myself. I believe that this trade puts Philly in the driver's seat for the Eastern Conference. They basically traded away some marginal guys, but the key here was the draft picks that they gave away. They gave away two first rounds and 2 seconds that they don't necessarily will need moving forward. So I thought that this is definitely one of those push the chips to the middle of the table and let's ride type of situations. I love Tobias Harris. I've loved him since he was a Vol. Had a couple classes with him. Great guy. Hopefully I'll get to go see him in Philly very soon. And then the Boban trade was also very key. I think they are so deep as a team right now. It's going to be hard for other teams. Maybe the Bucks and maybe the Raptors can push them to 7 games and beat them. But I don't see the Celtics right now beating them. I don't see the Pacers after they are dilapidated after the Oladipo injury. Philly's the front runner for me.
So I will also add in there those contracts, I believe, from Muscala and Chandler are both expiring contracts, which are huge news for them because depending on how they play for them at the end of the season, they can always negotiate and bring them back or release them and have huge cap space going forward.
Right, right. So let's move on to my Lakers and the Detroit trade. I'll go first on this one. So 60 seconds on the clock. I think this Reggie Bullock trade is very key as far as getting help in the backcourt for the Lakers because, you know, it's been crazy to try to find guys to be on the floor because of injury. I hate to see Svi go. I thought he could have been a nice little piece moving forward. But, you know, sending Svi away and a future second for Reggie Bullock seems like a stand-up trade in my book. I think that he will have a positive impact, especially while Lonzo is out with injury. And I'm excited to see how he fits in with the depth of the Lakers. He'll bring some shooting they desperately need, even though they had a franchise record of threes last night. I think this will be just, you know, a good piece to use with Rondo while they're waiting for Lonzo to come back. What do you think, Kenny?
I concur. You know, I know you hate how much the Lakers sometimes will get rid of young players and, you know, just completely disregard development for a right now thing. But when you got LeBron James and he's got 3.5 years left with you, you kind of have to be in right now mode. You can't be too deep into develop mode. And I think Svi Heimlich maneuver is, you know, more development than right now. And Reggie Bullock is a player that you can plug in right now. He's got experience. He knows what he's doing. He's been doing this. And I just think it's a better fit for them at the moment, especially not knowing fully what your team is going to look like at the end of the season or once the season ends and you start over again. So shooting, great, need it, use it, love it, move forward. I'm a future second round pick, isn't much to lose when you think you're going to do well to great going forward.
Awesome, awesome, yeah. So that's you actually under time that time, Kenny. That's awesome. Let us take a quick break, and then we'll come back with some more trades. And we're back. Thanks again for joining the In My Bag podcast, a part of the Pulse Podcast Network. We are talking NBA trades in this segment. Previous segment, we talked about a few that happened that we thought were impactful. And we're going to move on now to the 76ers and the Toronto wheeling and dealing. So, Kenny, 60 seconds on the clock. Talk about that trade.
Gotcha. So we all kind of thought, all right, Philadelphia made its big splash by, you know, selling the house to go get Tobias Harris and hopefully having a starting lineup that could do some damage. But it turns out they weren't quite done yet. They went back to the well again, talking to top Eastern Conference rival Toronto about making some things happen. They managed to send some cash over to Toronto in exchange for a good rotation backup guard and Malachi Richardson, a future second-round pick in 2022, and draft rights to an upcoming player that I've never heard of and whose name I will now attempt to butcher, Amir Pridgic. I might have gotten that right. Who knows? But again, it's great for Philly, again, adding depth in that backcourt, especially being able to spell out guys like Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick, and Ben Simmons when they need a break. And Malachi Richardson has a chance to go forward and prove himself to be the player that they were hoping they would have when they brought in Zion. Does that count as a buzzer beater?
No. You were almost there. You were almost there. Yeah, so 60 seconds for me. I believe this trade is a very solid depth builder for Philly. They get a 6'6 guard that can come off the bench and contribute. He hasn't had much action as of yet for the Raptors this season, but we'll see what happens. And as far as the rights to Amir Preldzic, yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. I have no idea who he is either, but who knows? He could be like an up-and-coming guy in the next few years. And that second round pick will probably not even stay in Philly. They'll probably move that for something else because they don't really need draft picks right now. They need players to put on the court. And so that's it for me. Let's move on to the Blazers and the Kings. So, Kenny, tell me what you think about that trade.
All right, so this one isn't huge, but it is one I wanted to put an asterisk by because it could be something very impactful just because the Portland Trail Blazers, as they watch the teams around them attempt to tool up, get better, and be better prepared for going into the offseason, have decided to make a couple of moves of their own. Scal Labissiere is a really interesting player for them to add. It's length, it's more depth and athleticism at the forward position, and it's a player that has a high ceiling and a low floor, but he's also not very expensive, so it could be a good pickup for him. He's somebody I paid a bit of attention to since he was at University of Kentucky with Cal, because he is one of those many players that was charted to possibly go to Memphis before Cal made his move over to Kentucky, and it could turn out to be something really useful for them in terms of having a player with the length and defensive ability to help in rotation.
Once again, so close to making that buzzer. But great analysis by you, Kenny. Mine is going to be very short. I won't even need the 60 seconds. I think this is a more of putting some feelers out to see what you can work on moving forward. Both guys are very young. Neither have really reached any kind of potential yet, but there is potential there. So they're just kind of feeling it out to see if this guy could work moving forward. So let's go on to probably the third biggest trade in my judgments, the trade between Sacramento and Dallas. So once again, 60 seconds for you, Kenny, and go.
All right, so this one is a big one, but not a big one for right now. This is probably the biggest trade or second biggest trade to happen heading into the deadline in terms of future, because I think this is two teams trying to secure their futures. In Dallas, we see them sending off a huge contract in Harrison Barnes to bring back Justin Jackson, a moderately inexpensive young player with a huge ceiling, and taking back in Zebo, who I'm pretty sure they have already waived. And I think they are making room and space, an enticing landing spot for a possible big or medium to large name free agent this upcoming season. In Sacramento, a team that is going up on their escalator, proving to outplay themselves, picking up Harrison Barnes, who can add great depth to that team, and another scorer and defender and a really good veteran that can help lead that team going forward.
You made it that time, Kenny. Proud of you. Yeah, so this trade is very curious to me. I think Sacramento is sneakily trying to claim a spot in the playoffs with this trade. I think Harrison Barnes will push them forward and help that young core that they have. I love Harrison Barnes. I think he's a great player. Got a bad rap for his finals appearance a couple years ago, but I think he's beyond that, and he is a solid player in this league. The Justin Jackson pickup for Dallas is pretty influential. I think they could possibly keep him moving forward. And then the Zebo trade was just to make the money work. I didn't really see him staying on that team. Whoever picks him up, though, they're getting a very good locker room presence. So let's keep an eye on that moving forward. Up next is a three-team trade, which I think has some very solid implications. The Rockets, Kings, and Cavs. So, Kenny, let's hear what you have to say about that.
All right, so Rockets, Kings, Cavs. I believe this was the first instance where we saw some signs of flu-like symptoms, i.e. Wade Baldwin and Nick Stauskas, who I talked about earlier, beginning their movements around the league. God, these guys are like the Ringling Circus everywhere. The biggest part of this for Houston is bringing in Iman Shumpert, who's going to give them depth at the guard position, help spell out James Harden at times. He's an ample defender, and if he's hot, he can fill it up. That second-round pick also could be fodder for a trade in the offseason. Sacramento picking up yet another really good player that can help add depth to their team, veteran leadership, and, you know, another cog moving forward to build the team that they want. And Alec Burks and another second-round pick that I do think they plan on using. And Cleveland is just, I don't know what they're doing. Brandon Knight is just an older Colin Sexton. Marquise Chris is just another Larry Nance Jr. And I never...
Yeah, there was a lot to that trade, Kenny. So I understand why you didn't make the buzzer. I'm going to try to be a little bit quicker. So I love that Sacramento got Alec Burks. I think he's solid. Cleveland... Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. I didn't even know Brandon Knight was still playing in the league. And Marquise Chris is just a marginal forward. Those two picks, though, very influential. I think that will help them moving forward. I think that was the main goal for them. And then as far as Houston getting Iman Shumpert and a second, that's big for them. They are starving at the guard position with Chris Paul being unreliable due to injury and James Harden putting the team on his back. Side note, Take a look at my latest article on the Breakdown Sports. I break down James Harden's offensive prowess and then suggest some ways to defend him. So we are moving right along here. Let's look at the Nets and the Raptors.
I think in the Brooklyn Nets, we see a team that is slowly but surely starting to come together and have what they hope within the next couple years will be a very competitive team in the Eastern Conference. I think Greg Monroe could possibly be a very good pickup for them, depending on how they use him. They had Brooke Lopez very recently, who was able to bud and become a very good, better player in their system, the player that made him so, making him currently so successful in Milwaukee. I think they're hoping for something similar with Greg Monroe, you know, a guy who can, when they're not running up and down the court, slow it down and get a bucket in the half court, because every team needs that every now and again. And, you know, Toronto got some money to hopefully be able to create a little bit more cap space to bring somebody in to pair with Kawhi Leonard or replace Kawhi Leonard if he chooses not to stay. Also, that second round pick could help out Brooklyn. But, you know, we'll never know. That's 2 years from now, and who knows who's going to be coming out then.
Nice, nice. So I'm going to just add on to what you said. And also offer a little clarification. So that Greg Monroe pickup for Brooklyn, they've already waived him. This was basically just a money move for both teams. Toronto got money not to use for their most of that money is going to be used towards their luxury tax and not their actual cap space, because they're creeping very closely into being in some trouble as far as that goes. So I think Brooklyn came out a winner of this, because they got a second round pick that they might need moving forward to fill out their roster when they're ready to make their big move. I think Brooklyn's right there, and then next year they're going to use that second round pick to push them over the edge. Another trade by my squad and your adopted squad, the Lakers, and their in-house rival Clippers. Kenny, let's hear your takes on that.
Okay, so this trade to me was kind of interesting in that you switch out Mike Muscala for Ivica Zubac and Michael Beasley. A lot of people are kind of confused about that, because Zubac was playing very well in the absence of JaVale McGee and Tyson Chandler, but I think they have the center they want in JaVale McGee, somebody who can run the floor, doesn't really need to touch the ball, but can touch the ball around the rim and get some points. An amazing rim defender, super athletic, and can run and be as fast as they want to. Mike Muscala gives them three-point shooting that they've been lacking so much that it seems like they're trying to tool up as they move forward. And it gives you a nice pick-and-pop big. They can also make some pick-and-rolls to the bucket as well. I watched him be very successful in his limited time in Philadelphia, as well as with the Clippers, and I think it's going to end up being a more solid pickup for them than most Lakers fans really think.
Great, great. Yeah. As far as this trade goes, it kind of hurts my fan heart a little bit, because I was growing to like Michael Beasley, and of course Zubac was killing it. I can see why he was traded at the trade deadline, because I'm sure a lot of teams were calling about his services. But Mike Muscala offers a better option for the offense moving forward right now. I haven't really seen much of him, because he's on teams that I didn't really pay attention to. But I think him, the Lakers getting him, he'll be a useful piece. And they preserve their cap space for the summer to grab those free agents. Mm-hmm. All right. We are just moving right along, but we will take a quick break and come back with the last couple trades that we thought were curious. And also, I have a little bit of a special segment for Kenny. So stay tuned. Hey, listener. And Kenny, I guess. We talk some about betting on this podcast, and I'd like to help you both get into the action.
Tell me more.
TheBreakdownSports.com has joined up with MyBookie to offer a 50% bonus when you deposit a minimum of $100. Yes, you heard that right. 50% bonus just for depositing a minimum of $100.
Oh, so all we have to do is enter the promo code BREAKDOWN?
Yes, Kenny. That's BREAKDOWN. BRKDWN, and you get your 50% bonus. Don't leave money on the table, Kenny. Use the promo code BREAKDOWN and get your 50% bonus today.
As always, please bet responsibly.
And we're back again with the In My Bag podcast, talking NBA trades. We've gone through quite a few already, but we got a few more for you. So let's just jump right back into it and go with the Grizzlies and the Clippers. So, Kenny, talk about your squad and the trade that went down. One of the trades that went down.
So this one, I have a particular bit of interest peaked in this because in this trade, we saw the Grizzlies and Garrett Temple and Jamichael Green of the Clippers in exchange for Avery Bradley, who I think can come into the organization and take on almost a Tony Allen 2.0 role in that small two guard who is an absolute dog on defense. But I also think he has a more broad and a more usable offensive asset set than Tony Allen ever had. And, you know, Garrett Temple was not performing up to the standards that we thought we were going to get out of him in the first place, because it was somebody they looked at bringing on and possibly keeping long term. And Jamichael Green has just been outplayed by Jaren Jackson and had his role essentially taken. And it was time for him to go somewhere else where he could possibly have a chance to shine and star. I think it kind of works out for both teams because, again, Grizzlies possibly get Tony Allen 2.0. The Clippers get some players that they can either release if they don't work or bring back if they do, because both these players are on expiring contracts.
I actually gave you an extra 5 seconds because it was your squad, so you're welcome. Let us talk about the Grizzlies and that dumpster fire that they call a franchise.
I wouldn't call the franchise a dumpster fire. The past two seasons have been dumpster fires.
Dumpster fire franchise.
I mean, how are you a dumpster fire franchise when you have the second longest streak of playoff appearances in NBA history?
But how many finals appearances?
I mean, as many as a lot of other teams in the NBA.
And they're all dumpster fires. But let's get back to Avery Bradley. I think this is very key for them. I thought them getting Avery Bradley would mean Conley was about to exit. But apparently they kept him, which I think I like this two-guard tandem of Bradley and Conley. I think they can actually make a splash with this. And they got rid of some guys that they didn't necessarily need moving forward. And I think that overall, this is a trade that will ultimately help the Grizzlies make some noise in the West, in the crowded Western Conference. Not necessarily playoffs, but make a little noise. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move on to the 76ers, wheeling and dealing again, this time with the Houston Rockets.
Right, you thought they were done the first time, but they caught you slipping. The 76ers are back at it again with the white vans. This time adding James Ennis from Houston for a second-round draft pick that they probably wouldn't have used anyway. And again, great depth, a guy that can shoot the three, defends well, and an amazing energy player. I probably have a pretty good scouting report on the guy because he did play a full, very productive season with the Memphis Grizzlies. Actually, take that back, two full, very productive seasons with the Memphis Grizzlies, where he was a very productive and very good role player doing exactly what he needed to do. And I think that's a huge pickup for a Philadelphia team that required some more depth.
Awesome. That was very quick. Nice. Yeah. This James Ennis trade, I honestly don't know if it'll actually make an impact on the Sixers as a whole. I don't necessarily value Ennis as a key contributor. He's just kind of like a well-traveled guy around the league. He's been on, what, five? This is his sixth team in his fourth season as an NBA player. So I don't think he'll make that much of an impact, and they give up a second-round pick for him. So, you know, whatever.
I'm going to fact-check that and bring it back later because I'm pretty sure he's had more than four seasons. The five teams is probably accurate. I definitely remember Houston.
Oh, yeah. I meant five teams in the last 4 years, sorry.
There we go. Six but again, years. that just means that your services are requested because it's not like he's being traded away to bad teams to get a better player. You have good teams that are making trades to try to acquire him. And again, he's one of those guys where he's your do everything, do the dirty job type guy. And if you're going to be a successful NBA team at the top, you got to have a couple of guys coming off your bench in the rotation that are going to do the dirty work, go hustle and get those balls going out of bounds, sprint down the court when everybody else is jogging for the open three or the layup or dunk. And, you know, he's not some past his prime old player that's going to get 1 to 2 minutes and maybe do something. He can actually do quite a bit more than I think a lot of people expect from him. And I think he might be, in terms of bench players, he might be probably the second to third most important pickup they get after Tobias Harris.
That's fair. I think we'll just agree to disagree on that. I don't think he'll make much of an impact for this Philly team. But we need to move on to another three-team trade that had some serious implications. And this one was with the Pistons, Bucks, and Pelicans. So 60 seconds on the clock for Kenny. And go.
All right, so we've got the Pistons, the Bucks, and the Pelicans doing a nice little rotation. We see Nikola Mirotic go to Milwaukee, which I think is going to be the biggest part of this trade. Milwaukee gets some three-point shooting, even though it's already gone on to being one of the better three-point shooting teams in the league, which I think will be huge, a major part of them having some key playoff success, because we saw Nikola Mirotic filling it up at the beginning of the season with a couple of 30-point outings, so we know he can put the ball in the basket. Thon Maker moves on to Detroit, where he'll have another chance to possibly edge out some minutes in the rotation and prove that he can be a good player, which will be tough behind Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. And New Orleans just gets Stanley Johnson, who I think could be a good player for him going forward, Jason Smith, who they probably won't keep, and a bunch of second-round draft picks to use later on.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you just said. I think this Nikola Mirotic pickup for Milwaukee is sneaky good. It just opens up the game a little bit more for Giannis. And then also I think the sneaky aspect of that trade is those four second-round picks for the Pelicans. They can, in a team that is also a dumpster fire and in full rebuild mode, those picks will come in handy for them moving forward.
That's a dumpster fire for you right there.
Yeah. I think that's the pinnacle of dumpster fire in the NBA right now. Because Phoenix is getting their stuff together. Atlanta is...
Cleveland is the epitome of NBA dumpster fire right now.
You can't be the epitome of dumpster fire when you went to the finals last year. I'm sorry. That's just not... That's not possible. I get your reasoning, but they have a finals appearance to lean on. Even though it was with LeBron, who's not on your team. But it's still fact.
Right now, as of February 8th, 2019, the Cleveland Cavaliers are the biggest burning dumpster fire in the NBA.
I don't know if I can say that, man. Like, dumpster fire requires history.
Very, very, very extensive history of failing without LeBron James.
Yes. And in 2 years, they will probably be the biggest dumpster fire. But the Pelicans have it right now because of the last 3 or 4 years that they haven't done anything.
Well, they were in the playoffs last year and made it to the second round.
That doesn't mean, like, making the playoffs is fine, but getting to the finals is completely different.
I mean, it's completely different, but so few teams make it to the finals, let alone win in the finals. That can't be your determinant of whether or not you're a dumpster fire. If that's the case, that's 20 dumpster fires in the NBA.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, you can't be a dumpster fire immediately coming off a finals appearance.
You can when you let go of LeBron James.
Cleveland they didn't let go of LeBron James. He left.
They let go of him the moment they decided to trade Kyrie Irving.
That's fair. But I mean, I don't think they're a dumpster fire just yet. They're struggling. They're not a good team. Next year, I'll give them that dumpster fire moniker. But let's move on to another trade by your squad. One I think you have a lot to say on, the Grizz and the Raptors. So what do you think about that trade?
All right, so I'm going to ask for an extra 15 seconds, and you can put a timer on just for the 15 so I can give a quick 2 cents about Mark Gasol. Mark Gasol, thank you for all you have given to the city of Memphis financially, emotionally, pride-wise. You were the GOAT, all-time best Grizzlies player. I'll put a cap on it right now. I love him and all that he was able to do for the city.
That's your 15 seconds. Your minute starts now.
That being said, Mark Gasol, thank you for also getting us a very, very good return on payment by bringing back a solid, more than solid, really, star-level center in Jonas Valanciunas. I believe you remember me talking about him possibly being a trade piece for Anthony Davis, so getting him as a trade piece for Mark Gasol, huge win. DeLon Wright and CJ Miles are two very competent wing players that could possibly be moved, used, or released to create cap space. And a 2024 second round pick, I feel like we can bet on Toronto possibly being bad 5 years from now. So, you know, that might turn out to be something good too. So this, we got a good take back. Gasol gets to go to a playoff contending, championship contending team. And I think it's a big win-win.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was sad to see Mark Gasol go. So on behalf of the Lakers franchise, you are welcome for Mark Gasol.
And you're welcome for Pau Gasol and two championships.
See, that's the thing, though. We don't need to thank the Grizzlies. We need to thank Jerry West, for the homie, for hooking up his former franchise with Pau Gasol.
Well, and Jerry West hooked up both of them because he is an amazing executive who the Grizzlies made a very, very dumb decision in not doing everything possible to keep him around, because once he left, there was clear, you know, that there was some poor writing on the wall because we were way too open with Sacramento Kings and dealing back and forth. And I'm just saying, Sacramento is not, you know, a good model for business. Not anymore. Maybe in those Chris Webber days, but it was a long past, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. But as far as Marc Gasol goes, I think he'll make a great impact in Toronto and hopefully get to an NBA Finals, which would be great, and then come back to the Lakers and win a champion, and actually win a championship.
You know, it's a good question. I don't know what Mark's going to do with the rest of his career. I could see him staying in Toronto because it is such a huge international market. He is an international man, you know, the big Spaniard. I think I could see him staying in Toronto, especially if they end up keeping Kawhi, because I feel like Mark Gasol is the type of piece that could make Kawhi stay because he is so good and he has that type of personality where he's not abrasive or brash. You know, he's very easy to get along with as a player. And I could see them doing something really interesting with this over the next 3 years or so.
Yeah, it's totally up in the air what Mark Gasol's future is, and also what Kawhi Leonard's future is. And I think they will be linked very closely as the season wraps up and free agency comes around. But, also, you know, who knows? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I also love the preemptive announcement from the Grizzlies after trading away Mark Gasol that when he retires, 33 will hang in the rafters of the FedEx Forum.
Yeah, I think they should retire both brothers at the same time.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be a very key thing. So, Grizzlies, if you're listening, we just gave you a huge marketing idea. It's actually really funny because at my desk, I have a picture on the wall of championship when they beat the Celtics, and Kobe jumps on the scoring table. And in that frame, you see Pau Gasol just like walking across the court in like just a very calm, his face is like super calm, while like confetti's falling and cameras are everywhere. It's very funny. So I look at Pau Gasol every day and I think about that championship, and I miss him a little bit, honestly.
All right. And that, listeners, wraps up our takes on this hectic NBA trade deadline. It's going to put some teams in some very interesting positions. moving forward. A lot of people are going to have a lot of things to prove now that they have put themselves in such good positioning, particularly the Philly 76ers, you know. At this point, there's no more excuses for them not to be the number one, if not one of the top two or three teams in the East, let alone the NBA. And I think it's going to be a rude awakening for some other teams, as it looks like the East is starting to gain some traction and being back competitive with the West.
Might be speaking a little too soon on that one, but you know
my take on that. It's that, you know, as far as the East versus West goes, it's only really important in terms of teams that are title competitive. And if we're looking at the picture as of right now in the West, there's, what, about four teams that are realistically title competitive. And I feel like it's the same in the East right now.
Maybe. It's just a whole different vibe in the West. But we can talk about that a little later. We're going to take one more quick break and be back with my special segment for Kenny.
Hey, Alex, do you ever go back and listen to our old podcasts?
You know what? I really do, Kenny. I actually listen to every single podcast we've ever recorded every single day. Don't you?
Well, for the sake of argument, let's say I do. What app should I use for it?
I think you should use the PodCoin app.
Oh, I've heard of that. Don't you get, like, points for listening to stuff?
Yeah, exactly. So you find your favorite podcast on the app, you listen, and the longer you listen, the more points that you get that you can use to redeem for gift cards.
Oh, that is dope. I gotta get with that PodCoin.
You know what's even doper is you can actually use your PodCoin points to donate to charities as well.
Gotta love the charity, but I am the charity too, so.
So, if you want to listen to our pod on PodCoin, download the app on your local app store and enter the promo code in my bag to get 300 PodCoin points off the rip.
Cha-ching!
And we're back again with the In My Bag podcast. We just wrapped up on NBA trades, but we actually forgot one for all of the... So we didn't want to catch any heat or get dragged by any of NBA Twitter. So we're going to go back and do 60 more seconds of the Magic's trade with the 76ers. You want to go first, Kenny?
I will. I feel like I don't know how this happened. I don't know why this happened. Philadelphia won this one outright. I don't know what Orlando is doing or thinking it's doing. I guess they're giving up on the Jonathan Simmons project, who was a really good player during his stint in San Antonio, especially while Kawhi Leonard was out. It's a huge pickup for Philly because it's a guard that'll actually get on the court and play and isn't scared to shoot right now. And they also got a protected first-round draft pick and an unprotected second-round draft pick. So you could essentially get a good rotational player, first-round draft pick, and a second-round draft pick for Markelle Fultz, who didn't even play for you this season because of injuries and mental issues. So Philly has just won this first week of February. Like, February is clearly Philly's month right now.
Yeah, and I was going to hit the buzzer, but you literally finished right in there. So I'm going to be really quick. I'm rooting for Markelle Fultz and his, I don't even want to call it a comeback because he hadn't gone anywhere. He's very young, still developing. But I think him and Aaron Gordon could make a solid little tandem. So watch out for that. And then the Sixers get a first round pick. That's so key. It's protected, but it's a first round pick. And then they also pull up a second as well. And the Jonathan Simmons thing is also very key. So I think, yeah, I agree that Philly won the trade, but look out for Fultz and Gordon in the near future because they could be doing some damage in the East.
And I agree. You know, I think I root for Markelle Fultz to be successful I love how much Philadelphia was willing to support him as long as he could in his path to return to being successful. I love they even got a little shout out from J. Cole on his newest smash hit, Middle Child. Not Middle Child. He got the shout out on his feature with 21 Savage on the smash hit A Lot. And, you know, just praying for him to come back and be successful again. And I think he's going to get it. You know, this NBA nowadays is just so fast paced and so impatient that there's no time to let guys develop. And I just don't think he was put in a position where he was allowed the time to truly develop into the player that he can be. And he might get that chance in Orlando where they don't have high expectations right now.
Right, exactly, exactly. So yeah, that officially wraps up our talks on the NBA trades. Let us know what you think. Follow us on Twitter and shout out the pod and our takes on the trades. And let us know if we're off base or right on base, in fact. But we're going to change gears just a little bit. So, Kenny Ray. The Super Bowl happened Sunday, and we thought that would be the end of football for a while. But it is not. We have more football coming tomorrow. The Alliance of America Football League? Is that what it's called? Yeah, the AAF. They are tipping off tomorrow. And yeah, Alliance of America Football League. Exactly, exactly. So I thought up a little curious segment. They're proposing some new rules. And so I'm going to read these off to you, and you have to decide if that's a real rule or it's me making something up. So what do you think about that, Kenny?
Tell me what you got.
All right. So first thing, real or fake? No kickoffs.
Fake. I feel like the AAF knows how important kickoffs are and how exciting it is to see somebody take it back to the house 100 yards, 90-something yards. They wouldn't take that away from us. They want to be better than the NFL.
Well, Kenny, you are wrong. There will be no kickoffs in the AAF. Highlighting player safety first and foremost, which I am a proponent of.
Player safety, but
I think that'll be very a curious thing. So let's move on. Next one. 55-second play clock.
55-second play clock. I'm gonna double down on my faith in them. A 55-second play clock, I feel like, can make the game way too long. I feel like maybe they want shorter, more fast-paced games. So I'm going to say that's false.
You are correct. It's actually a 35-second play clock, 5 seconds less than the NFL.
Yeah, fast pace. Faster pace means more eyes on it, less walking away, changing the channel, more views. All right, 50%. Keep it going.
All right. No TV timeouts.
You got to have TV timeouts. That's where you get your advertisements in at. I'm going to go false.
That is a real thing. No TV timeouts for the AAF. Oh,
what? All live all the time?
Yes.
Ooh, that'll be interesting.
All right, next one. They are limiting how many players you can blitz on a passing play.
You already said this. They are very big on player safety. I feel like the quarterback's most important player, so they want to keep most of all. So I think that's real.
You are correct. The AAF is limiting you to only be able to rush 5 players on a passing play. And also, no defensive player can rush for more than 2 yards outside of the widest offensive lineman or more than 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. Now, there are exceptions for play action and RPOs, obviously, and if the ball leaves the tackle box.
Right, so basically we won't be seeing any wide cornerback blitzes, and we won't see any blitzes coming directly from the safety position. If a safety's going to blitz, he needs to move down into the box, essentially become an extra linebacker.
Exactly.
once again, player safety. You don't want to cut down on blindside hits and players running full steam into one another, which is interesting because that's kind of the heart of football.
It's weird. All right, next one. For a player, for a team to get the ball back after a score, they must convert a 4th and 12 from their own 28.
Okay, repeat that one more time.
So after your team scores, to get the ball back as a onside kick, you have to convert a 4th and 12 from your 28.
I feel like you're throwing me a curveball on this one because I feel like that is a variation of the rule, but it's not the exact numbers. So I'm going to go false on this one.
You're wrong, kid, Kenny. That is exactly how you perform an onside kick in the AAF, which is genius because if you convert the 4th and 12, you're at the 50-yard line ready to move.
I don't dislike the rule. I just think – Well, I mean, I guess it works out in that it puts you right on the 50.
Actually, my math is wrong. It puts you on the 40. I apologize. Yeah, the 40.
I guess it's just a weird decision to make in terms of down, not down, but in terms of distance necessary and yard positioning, because why not just have one down to go 15, I would say 15 yards on one down. You have to get a 15-yard conversion from, what, let's say 20, put you on the 35, 65-yard drive.
Well, if it's an onside kick situation, I kind of understand starting from the 40. That's the general area you would get from an onside kick. I think it would be like the 45, but they're pushing it like 5 yards back. And there's gaining potential to be, you know, you could score off of this 4th and 12. So, yeah.
True. But again, like I said, it just seemed, the numbers just seem way too, it's extra. You know, you could have just been really simple with it. You need a 15-yard conversion from your 20-yard line to at least put you on the 35, and that's your onside kick versus, well, we're going to put you on the 28, it's going to be 4th and 12. Like, what? Just make it simple for us, man. We're not math majors out here. Most people that really, really enjoy football are probably a little stupid, too.
Yeah, we all have a little bit of brain damage from even watching players get hit like that.
Yeah. Who else would enjoy violence that
exactly
much?
All right,
you know?
Last one. In the AAF, there will be a 9th official, and he will be in the skybox officiating from the top and looking down.
Actually, I know this one. I know that's true because I do believe I heard this on a quick plug Mike and Golic broadcast one morning driving to work, because I have picked up major interest in this AAF because my hometown Memphis does have a team, the Express, who will be playing in the AAF this upcoming season. They actually have a game this weekend in Birmingham, Alabama, Sunday the 10th, that I will be watching and hopefully attending the game next week. So, long story short,
you are correct. And you also stole my plug for the Memphis Express in their first game tomorrow against Birmingham. So, great.
There's no way you're going to steal a plug from my home city having a professional football team again. RIP Memphis Maniacs.
Also, RIP Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
They were in Memphis the first year.
They were, but Memphis was not they didn't have the infrastructure to support a professional football team at the time. You know, and I think Nashville was just financially and infrastructure wise better suited for it, you know. So I can't be too mad about that. They had the funds to build a professional football stadium. We did.
Yeah, that's
not.
Yeah, that's fair. So great job by you, Kenny, in getting most of those wrong. But yeah, check out the AAF. If you are a football junkie like we are, you can use.
I feel like I shot 40% on that.
Let's see. I gave you 6, and you got 2 right. So that is 33%. You're an average 3-point shooter.
Hey, I'll take that. That is a very, very true statement.
Yeah, I mean, people think being average is bad, but
it's not.
I'll take it. I'll take 33% from the field when I'm at LA Fitness.
That's my overrated, underrated today. Underrated is being an average percentage shooter. Shooting 30% or higher. Underrated. If you can hit 1 out of 3, you gotta guard that guy.
Yeah. Especially in the rec. Like if you hit 1 out of 3 in the rec, you might be a little bit hot.
Right.
All right. So that is we are coming to the end of the podcast. We have some major announcements for you all. The In My Bag podcast has official merchandise for sale right now. And since we want to hook up our podcast listeners, we are actually going to give you 10% off of that merch. So all you have to do is go to PulsePodcastNetwork.com/shop and find our products on there. You'll see it. We got some t-shirts, some hoodies, some great stuff on there. So when you go to check out, use the code PPNLAUNCH to receive your 10% off. So support your boys, support the podcast, buy this dope merch. We spent a lot of time designing this. We got some great stuff for you coming down the pipeline. What was that, Kenny?
I said, and by we, he means Alex spent a lot of time developing these.
Well, I didn't want to be selfish, Kenny. This is a team effort, okay?
It's a team.
What I do, we do. Like everything, what is mine is yours, and what's yours, you can say is mine if you want.
That's true, but we're not going to lie. The merch was probably like 80-20. He made it and then shot me the designs and were like, what do you think?
Yeah, but anyway, I think it's dope. I would love to see it out in public. So 10% off, PPN launch is your code at checkout. We're also going to be running some social media campaigns to get some free stuff, some free t-shirts for you. So be on the lookout for that. And follow us on Twitter at In My Bag Pod. We also are launching an Instagram. So follow that as well, In My Bag Pod on Instagram. Kenny, any other important business that you'd like to discuss before we get out of here?
Let's see. That was a lot of information to digest. And let's just go back through that quickly. Go check out our merch. We'll be posting links in case you do not remember the links by ear. Go check out our social medias. We'll also be posting links in case you don't remember those links by ear. Go listen to the new Wiz Khalifa and Currency album released today. If you haven't already heard the two hit singles I mentioned earlier, go listen to Middle Child and A Lot. Get some knowledge. And have a great weekend.
Watch some football. Bet the overs.
Bet the overs. There are a lot of guys going to be trying to impress and make some names for themselves. And I'm actually looking forward to, as of right now, I'm trying to secure some tickets because we actually have a home game next weekend. So hopefully next time you hear from us on this podcast, you will be hearing my live report and breakdown of experiencing an AAF football game.
That's dope. That's dope. Okay. We're going to get out of here on that. Check us out next time on the In My Bag podcast, presented by the Pulse Podcast Network. Take care.
And more chewing for your head top, so watch how you speak on my name, you know?